Welcome to Impact Investing TV show.
We show you solutions to global environmental and social challenges to inspire you for actions towards the SDGs.
You will also learn the best way to invest your money and create impact while making profit.
Let's discover impact investing world and true sustainability right now. Hi, and welcome to Swiss Impact with Banerjee's Season 6, Episode 3.
Hello, hello. And we continue exploring the topic of this season, impact investments in times of crisis. Education is the key to many of our challenges. This is why today we are going to talk about education, which is based on the principles of interdependence, cycle, diversity, adaptation, health, and oneness. More about that a bit later.
Thank you, dear audience, for the support and the reaction and for watching us.
All right, then let's give it a go, Ben, about your story, maybe something nice for today.
So, as you know, the last 2 days, we have been busy with so many amazing, impactful businesses calling us from all over the world seeking support or resources.
I know, I hardly saw you this week.
And what surprised me is the immense movement going on around the world. While a few major corporations are pushing positive changes top down, but mostly the changes are coming from below and moving up. So we are coming into a major generation battle. While the old ones are busy only with their greed and destructive activities, the young ones are compensating with positive actions and their knowledge. And it is very easy, for me, it is very easy to see in the fossil fuel industry. While the young ones are cleaning up the beach and cleaning up the plastic, the fossil fuel industry has encouraged and is speeding up the production of single-use plastic.
Yeah, of course, it's after all, is their future which is at stake right now, right?
So sometimes it is really sickening to see the pure greed or lust for power into these eyes. While on the other hand, you see the light and beauty in the eyes of the youth. My money is on the youth.
Exactly, except that I pray that the olds do not end up destroying the planet before the present youth come into maturity. Thank you, Ben, for this story. From my research with entrepreneurs, which I was doing last week, I can say that each and every one of them is driven by a specific mission, usually arising from their stories from childhood that touched them very deeply. And now they are providing solutions to food security, cleaning oceans from plastic to protect animals, or providing movable sanitation solutions. It really depends on the childhood experience. And what is sure that if they will get money to bring their project to the next level, they will put all their strengths, abilities, heart, and whatever it takes to make it a success and achieve their missions to create positive impact. So my message to investors is to take some risk to scale up amazing solutions for our world. With this, I'd like to invite our honored guest of today, who is going to tell us about something unique, which is empowering our societies, especially the youth, the Harmony Project. So welcome, Richard Dunn. Hi,
hey,
Richard.
Great,
great
to
have you with us.
So where are you, Richard?
So I'm based just southwest of London, about half an hour southwest of London on the train.
So true British.
That's right. I am very, very British, very English, and in England right now.
More than that, I'd like to say a few words to our audience who doesn't know you yet. So Richard Dunn is the founder and director of the Harmony Project, an education charity working with schools and educators in the UK and around the world to help them developing a new way of learning inspired by nature principles of harmony, principles that teach us way of life that is sustainable and well at the same time.
So Richard, let me start. So what inspired you to make a career in education of all the things?
It's a good question. And I don't think when I was a child, a lot of children say they want to be teachers when they grow up.
Yeah,
but exactly.
All the kids. I had a very academic education. I went to a very good school in Southwest London. And then I left school, went to college and finished and traveled the world. And I think it was then that I realized that this extraordinary world that we live in was very different from what I learned about in school. So how do you balance the sort of academic rigor, which is so much part of our education system, with something that felt more meaningful, more relevant to the real world in which we live? So I was kind of curious about these two dimensions. And I did some work in London over a couple of years after my travels. But I think I'd been really impacted by my time away. I finished in Calcutta in India. I was working at Teresa. And I just thought, you know, there's more to life than getting a job and earning a living. Of course, that's important. But I needed to have something with a bit more purpose. So it was maybe 2 or 3 years after coming back from travels that I decided that teaching was the world that I wanted to go into. And I love children. So it was just a great way to bring the two together.
Well, you definitely speak our language. Mother Teresa was also inspiring for me to start my spiritual journey. That was the start.
Yeah. Mother Teresa is a remarkable...
Calcutta. Ben is from Calcutta, if you remember.
I'm born in Calcutta. I never lived there.
Well, you were born in a good place, right? Richard, could you tell us more about your experience as head teacher of the Ofsted Graded Health Sending School?
Well, I started obviously as a teacher and then moved into a deputy head role and a few years after that became a head teacher. And I think all the time, just going back to my last comment, I was trying to work out how to get the balance between the reading, the writing, the maths. It was in a primary school, an elementary school. And then on the other side, how to make it relevant for children, make it sort of bring it to life, I suppose. So when I became a head teacher, it was very much around finding that middle path so that ultimately children feel empowered in their learning. They feel they have a voice in their learning and that they love to learn. You know, it's a fascinating journey. I'm always struck by this word curriculum because we talk a lot about curriculum, and a curriculum means course or journey. So when we learn, we need to be on some kind of journey to a destination. And it felt like that was a really nice way of bringing the learning together.
All right. Now, about Harmony Project, what is that? And can you tell us it in a simple language that everyone understands?
Including me.
Well, we can probably bring up just a few slides at this point because I can maybe talk to these slides. The Harmony Project has been running for about 3 years now. And as you can see from the question, we wanted to use these principles of harmony, which we'll talk about a little later, to guide and inform a new way of learning. And with reference to the slides again, we wanted to take a message which interestingly had come from a book written by now His Majesty King Charles III. At the time, he was His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales. And he had this very clear vision that we needed to understand our relationship to the world, that we are part of the natural world, and that if we are to live sustainably, we need to see it both in terms of our own well-being and condition and in terms of the well-being of the natural world. So it was really that combination of things that inspired me to then set up the Harmony Project. And I think it was a shift from sustainability, which is fixing the problems, which is what we're all doing right now, to harmony, which is saying, if we understand harmony, and this word in Greek, harmony meaning joined or connected, if we see how everything is connected, we understand that harmony is about balance. This is a great way to learn to live. So it's the starting point for this way of learning, but it's also the journey. And it's also the outcome. So for me now, the goal is to help people understand harmony. If we get that right, then we will live sustainably.
And how does it differ from traditional educational methods? Or is it a complementary to it?
Well, I think it's a very good question you ask, because the traditional methods, which are often very subject specific, We learn a particular subject and we learn skills and knowledge around that subject. That's obviously very valuable and it's really important. But actually, if it's just that, we tend to learn in a very segmented, siloed way. And I think what we're saying with the Harmony Project is we need to join things together, just like the word harmony says, and to see how the learning can become coherent around a particular project. So the Harmony Project is very much looking at this idea of joined up learning. And I think the other thing that distinguishes it is this focus on nature, because we often learn about nature in our education. But what we're saying, and we'll come to these principles in a moment, but we're saying that we can learn from nature. Nature can be our greatest teacher if we are to live in a good way.
Then please explain us these principles, you know, interdependence, cycle, diversity, adaptation, health, oneness, which are applied in your classrooms.
Okay, well, let's go back to the slides again, because I think we have these six principles articulated with some slides. And we'll run through the six that you've just highlighted, because they're the kind of framework for this way of learning. So the first principle, as you just said, is this principle of interdependence. So we want children, basically, and young people to become systems thinkers, to understand how everything works in relationship. Everything is joined together and connected, as I've said before. And to see that when we behave in certain ways, it can either have a positive impact or a negative impact. So the choices we make around the things we do and the things we say every day can be constructive and positive, or destructive and negative. And of course, if we look at the big picture of that, we have a lot of things in our world now which feel very destructive. We're really damaging our world and we're causing a lot of crises. So how do we change that and understand what it looks like when we work through systems and do good work together? So the second principle is the principle, hopefully with a slide coming up, principle of the cycle. So what we're saying here is that nature is cyclical and cycles never end. So it's a fantastic model of sustainability. And cycles self-sustain in nature, they self-regulate, and importantly, they self-limit. And one of the things we have a challenge with today is we're consuming too much, we're taking too much. So there are some amazing projects in the world now, like the Circular Economy and the Circular Bioeconomy Alliance, who are teaching that we have to think in cycles. So that's the second principle. The third one is this principle of diversity. And there's a slide of a beautiful wildflower meadow planted by children. So we know that diversity is a good thing. Diversity is something that gives any system or any community resilience. And of course, it makes it more interesting too. It's interesting if you ask children about diversity and the opposite of like a monoculture, they say it would be really boring if we were all the same. So we want to celebrate diversity in people, and we want to celebrate diversity in nature, biodiversity. So that's a really important message right now. We're destroying a lot of our biodiversity, and how can we make it, how can we restore it, I suppose? How can we bring it back or allow it to come back? And a lot of things like our farming systems use a lot of chemicals. These are very damaging of biodiversity. So we really want to focus on that side too. The fourth principle is adaptation. And if we look at the slide here, so we know that nature is amazingly adapted through its evolutionary processes to work well in its place. And we want children to, one, learn about adaptation in nature, and secondly, to look at what it means for them in their place. So if you live in the mountains, or you live by a river, or you live on, near the coast, what does the learning look like for your community, for your place, for your geography? And of course, the history as well. So it's about giving children a real sense of place and identity to where they live. A lot of children I speak to around the world say a lot of their learning is too disconnected from their own world, and they want to be brought. So the last two principles, number five is health. So what do we need to be healthy? What do we need to be well? We have a lot of crises right now, don't we, around things like mental health. We've obviously had COVID recently. So helping our children understand in their own lives, what is it going to take for them to be well? And as we know, there are many aspects of health and well-being. So it's a really nice journey of learning to keep revisiting health in different projects in different ways. And then this final principle is the principle of oneness. So we want children and young people to understand that we are part of nature. We are part of this world, this oneness. In a religious context, we would see it with reference to God. And we want children to see that they're part of something greater. And I think linked to this lovely work of oneness is this sense of being at peace with yourself, finding peace in the world. There's that lovely connection between the word place and peace. It's the same word. So when you find your place, you find your peace. So it's a really nice way to bring the learned. So we'll come back to that quote in a moment, but they're the six principles of calm.
Wow.
That's amazing. If everywhere in the world this would be applied, I'm sure we would have better world already.
Where were you 40 years ago when I was studying at a Catholic school? I studied at a typical Catholic British school, so you can imagine what my education was.
It would have been very different from that. I'm sure there were some good things about it. So
I know, like my son tells me, my head is full of so much irrelevant facts and figures.
Well, I think
we can send our son to your school, Richard. Yeah.
We want this message to be heard, as you say, by children all over the world. And I think when they work according to these principles, it's like a philosophy for life for them, as it has been in the past for many traditions and cultures. This understanding of how the world and life and nature works, it just makes so much sense. And we seem to have lost this understanding. The King in his book, Harmony, he says, all we have to see is that the solutions are close at hand. This message is all around us, and we just need to tune into it, and then we will get things right. And that's, I suppose, the message of the Harmony Project in education.
Richard, what has been outcomes been on students? What have you noticed? How did they change?
Well, I think we noticed two things. The first is because, as you've highlighted, the learning is really interesting and just a great way to learn. They're very motivated. So it's combining the academic with the practical, with the applied, and they really enjoy it. So it's the motivational factor, happy children learning in really interesting ways. So that's a really big plus. I think the other thing is this message of the language, because when children start to articulate harmony, they start to speak in a different language. And for me, that's the most amazing thing, to talk to children about what does this principle mean to you? What does it mean for our world? They really get it. So they start to speak a different language. So it sounds maybe quite a big thing to say, but I actually hope that this next generation will grow up with a different language to articulate their place in the world, what they can do in the world, and how they can work together.
Okay. And what are your future plans for the Harmony Project? And how do you hope to expand it to reach the whole world out there?
Well, our work at the moment is partly UK-based, probably majority UK-based. So we're working in England, in Wales, in Scotland, and we've got some really fantastic schools developing this work. But we're also really interested in how it can be applied in different contexts in other parts of the world. So if I give you a couple of examples, the previous call to our session today was with Ukraine. And we're working with schools in Kyiv at the moment, and they are developing a harmony curriculum literally in response to the war. So they want their children to grow up with a message of how do we live together in harmony. And it's such a beautiful thing. And they have such humility in what they want to do. They really believe this is the answer to the terrible things that are happening in their country. So that's a brilliant project. And we are very excited about the potential of that to grow now. If I give you another example, Costa Rica is looking to develop what I suppose they would call a natural curriculum. We often talk about a national curriculum, which is the country's curriculum for learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But actually what they want is a curriculum from nature. So how can we learn from nature, not just learn about nature? And so we're trialing some projects in some fairly disadvantaged areas of Costa Rica at the moment. and it's really lovely to see it grow. So we've got projects developing. There are others in other parts of the world. And I think for me, it's about allowing it to grow in its place, not being too controlling of it, but just to give a framework and a guidance and then say, now it's for you to develop it, which is a lovely thing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I was thinking like there were so many examples I could think of when you were explaining the six principles or the seven, is that in India, like we all know, when you grow up in India, thousands of songs with our head, or we know all the mythological tales. But our school, we were studying about Cinderella or the stories which had really nothing to do with the Indian way of life or with the Indian mythology, while India itself has such a rich mythology. And I think this is where that when you said that it can be adapted to the location, to the place, mm-hmm. it really makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And I have a question, Richard. Like, so very practical. I'm a head of school. I like what you're doing. How can I implement in my school your curriculum or start implementing it? What are the steps?
So it's a very good question. And it's a question I think we're asked quite a lot, which is, How do we do it in a way that feels manageable, feels realistic? And I think what we would say is it's actually easier than you think. So we're trying to find connections in the subject learning. We're trying to see how we can join the learning together. And we're trying to ask different questions around this outcome. What is nature teaching us here? So I'm not sure we're asking that question enough. As you say, Ben, we often have it in our traditions. In our cultures, we intuitively know how we should be living. But maybe today we've lost that sense of yeah. intuition and understanding. So a lot of it is about getting teachers to rethink the questions they're asking, to rethink the curriculum and the way it can come together, to sort of align things so that they flow more and they have a really nice sense of journey about them. So my hope is that a lot of schools could be inspired by it, but when they look at it in reality, they can actually also see that it's not so difficult to do.
And I was thinking that since I have also been in the education field quite a long time, that there are some schools which I think are very near to you. Like in Netherlands, we had the Vrijschool, the Rudolf Steiner School or the Montessori School. But some schools are very far away from you, like where I come from, where I grew up. How have your response been from the educators and the schools to your project?
Well, I think we're at a stage now where we are all realizing, and you highlighted it in your introduction, we have to move away from an unsustainable fossil fuel driven economy to something much more nature connected, much more enlightened, much more sustainable, of course. So there is an imperative for us to do this. And I was in a school yesterday running workshops with children, but also with the adults, the staff. And it was really lovely how open they were to the potential of this. I think they want to do it. The other side, of course, and again, coming back to what you said at the beginning, is that young people are telling us this is what they want. So it's pushing at an open door because they know a lot about this stuff. Many of them do. And they want to learn in this way. So I think we have an incredible opportunity now to shift the paradigm, to move education into a new place. And coming to your points, Veta, it's not difficult to do. We just need to see the opportunities to make it happen. And it will then happen.
Like talking about numbers, how many students do we have now and what is the capacity? Or like how big a school must be or should be or can be in order to apply that method?
I think it can vary enormously. Some of the schools we're working with are very small. They might have, 50, 70 children. And other schools will have several hundred. And a small number of schools might be into their thousands. So it can be adapted to any context. Of course, the bigger the school, the more the challenge, because you've got more people to... Yes. I suppose to encourage to do it and to influence in this way. And some people understandably will be resistant because they're very used to doing things in a certain way. But in the UK now, we're working with probably between 50 and 100 schools, so several thousand students. And then we have these different groups of schools in other parts of the world. And I think for me, the encouraging thing is that it's growing, that more and more people want to engage. So I've just had a conversation with someone in Italy, near Venice, about developing a project in all the schools within that region. I think it's 800 schools. Incredible.
Wow.
So, you know, there's lots of potential with it. And I think for us now, it's about the capacity. We're a small team.
Yes.
Realize that potential.
So what do you need? Are you looking for funding to scale and make it the new normal on the planet?
Of course, because I can see that as much as I'm very passionate about this work, as hopefully you can tell, and my team are equally passionate about this work. We are a small team. And so we can only do, there are only so many hours in the day. You can only do so much.
So I've heard it so many times.
No, scaling up is about smart things. Like this, actually, you know, recording stuff, replicating stuff. If we produce resources in English, say, and then we translate them into Chinese, Japanese, Spanish, Italian, and so on, then we can get it to many more people. I know in Costa Rica, they speak Spanish, of course. They would love to have more of our material. So all we need to do is get a translator, and then we can translate and share more material.
But so, are you teaching by going to the location or from distance?
Mainly from distance, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think as we're also aware, you know, the world of Zoom and similar platforms is the way many of us work. And of course, it's practically the most sensible thing to do, and it saves on money and it saves on emissions from flying.
Time and everything, yes.
So it's a good thing. I think there's a lot to be said, though, as you will appreciate, a lot to be said for meeting face-to-face. So I've been working with Costa Rica for over 2 years, but I've never actually met these people face-to-face. And one day it would be lovely to do that and to actually, you know, sit around a table and have a meal together and a drink and really get...
Exactly. But are you teaching the teachers, or you're teaching the teachers and the kids at the same time?
Mainly online, we're teaching the teachers.
Okay.
If we go to particular schools, then we're working like I was yesterday. I did 7 workshops, 6 of them were with children. So we are doing the face-to-face with the students, with the young people, which is wonderful. I mean, that's when it really comes to life. So yeah, I think a lot of it is about the online sharing. And then from time to time, we're punctuating that, if you like, with visits, with face-to-face workshops.
Richard, I need to insist, you are looking for funding. So what is the number to bring you to the next stage? How much are you looking for?
Well, I think our funding at the moment is not huge. I would say, you know, if we had £50,000, that would be fantastic to help us to do things that at the moment we can't do. If we had £100,000, we could probably bring more people on board. And of course, you know, we're running at the moment at around £200,000 a year. And we're just short of that in terms of our funds at the moment. You know, if you really push beyond that and you said, well, if we had £1 million, big figure.
Exactly,
like that,
yes. Yeah. Or 10 million.
Then we could do the most incredible things. And I think, you know, it's very interesting. I've been very inspired by the now King Charles. He's the inspiration behind this work. And what he says in his book, it's behind all the initiatives he's been so public about, and people have become so aware of. So, you know, I can see that the scalability of this is actually what we're about now. And as you say, it's a word you might hear often, but if we had significant funds, then we could take it around the world very quickly, I think. Mm-hmm. We can be very smart with that.
And are actually students paying for the education, or it's all government supported, or how is it working, the model?
So a lot of our material is free, because we know that the education world, for the most part, doesn't have very much money. So we want it to be free. I mean, if I look at schools in this country right now, they're really struggling. And I'm sure it's the same in many places.
Yeah.
So we need to give people free offers of this work. If you go to our website right now, you can download Projects of Learning, and they're all available for free. So that side of things, we try and give freely. And then on the other side, where if we're doing workshops with schools, we charge a very small amount, but we'll do introductions for free. And then if they want to run a program, we'll agree an amount. But again, it's a gesture. It's a small amount just to acknowledge the time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And how can our audience support you?
Well, I mean, what's fascinating is that I feel this work is like a magnet. So people are drawn to it. And it's a really lovely thing. I almost daily get people contact me to say, I love what you're doing. I'd like to find out more. So in the first place, if people like what they're hearing, you know, we'd be delighted to speak with them, maybe explore things a bit further. That might have a funding implication, but it doesn't have to have. And a lot of it, you know, again, coming back to this word harmony, it's about connecting things, joining things. It's like harmony is included. Mm-hmm. So if we work with other organizations who are similar to us or have a similar vision, then that's a nice thing as well. So sometimes it's got a funding element, but not always.
Yeah.
And where can people find you? Your website?
So our website, here we go, www.theharmonyproject.org.uk. And my email is down at the bottom there. And our Harmony Project email is info@theharmonyproject.org.uk.
I'm sure everyone will want to approach you directly now.
Let's hope
Richard. Richard, the time is running, but I still want to ask you for a call to action to our global audience. What do you want to say to the world?
So my message to the world right now is that we need to do things differently. We're all very aware of this. We know that we need to change to live more sustainably and to live within the carrying capacity of our world. And we see that environmentally and socially. It's the two together. So the message of harmony teaches us a way of doing that. It provides principles and guidance and a philosophy, if you like, to help us to live in the right way. We know that a sustainable future in relation to climate change, in relation to biodiversity, in relation to the peoples of the world is essential, existential right now. So harmony, I believe, is the solution to that challenge. And I hope that today's presentation helps you to understand that. And if you're interested in finding about this work in more detail, please do contact us.
Wow, this was amazing.
Very nice, Richard. Thank you so much. And we'd like to invite you to join our impact community on camomile.ch. And also, we are honored to give you our Impact Leader Certificate for your amazing work. Our team will be in touch with you in this regard.
Thank you so much. Well, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. And the latest, we see each other when we bring our son to your school, I think.
Are you doing something in Switzerland yet?
No, but you know, there's another opportunity. So if you know people in the education world in Switzerland.
Absolutely, then, yes.
It's lovely how that happens. You know, when you get introduced and, you know, meet another head teacher or meet someone in the education world, and who knows where it goes. For me, this is, I think, the fascinating bit, the journey.
Then we'll see each other very soon.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. It's better. I love to see you.
Or visit him at home.
Exactly. Thank you for joining, Richard.
My pleasure. Lovely to see you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. With this, dear viewers, I'd like to end the season 6, third episode. And next week, we will come with another inspiring guest.
And we invite all impactful businesses who are seeking investments, branding, or any other support to our TV show. You can simply contact us at the address apply@iisolutions.ch. And remember, it's not hard to act.
Just give your heart to impact.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Hey, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Impact Investing TV Show. Make sure you subscribe to our channel not to miss any future episodes.
Leave us some feedback and get in touch with us if you want to be our next TV show guest.
And find us on TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And join the awesome Impact community. We look forward to sharing the next episode with you. And remember, it's not hard to act.
Just give your heart to impact.